The chair calls the first meeting of the ALA Council to order. Would all councilors please occupy the reserved seats at the front of the room? If you wish to speak at this meeting, please go to a microphone, wait for recognition, then give your name and indicate if you are a division councilor, a chapter councilor, a councilor at large, or a roundtable councilor. Motion forms must be completed for all motions. For your convenience, the motion forms are available at each end of your table. Motion forms must be printed legibly, signed by the mover and the seconder, and given to the projectionist to my right before you go to the microphone. This assures that the overhead slide will be available for your motion at the time it is introduced. You will be asked to raise one of your hands for all votes that are not adopted by general consent. Only if the vote seems close will I call for a standing vote. General consent voting will only be used for routine and non-controversial decisions, typically of a procedural nature, such as a decision to recess or change the agenda. Use of general consent is not an appropriate way of voting on main motions. Please watch the overhead screen for the motion description to use on your voting card. You may only use that descriptor. Please, please do not improvise. Your voting record is at your place. You should have a pink card for this morning's meeting. Please write your name on your voting card right now. Cards without names will be voided, which means there will be no record of your attendance and votes for this meeting. If you must leave before adjournment this morning, please take your card to Lois Ann Gregory Wood over at the projectionist table in this room. It is my pleasure to reintroduce ALA's parliamentarian, Ellie Mina. Ellie will be available at Resolutions Table 12 in the ALA offices next door in W375D to help you with any questions you may have regarding parliamentary procedure. The resolution table hours are listed in ALA Council Document Number 3. Also on the platform today are Sari Feldman, ALA President-elect, Joanne Kemp, Director of the Office of ALA Governance. And I want to note that Joanne is helping me with the microphones, so thank you so much in advance for your patience.
Not that I'm
not with me, not with you. Your patience with me, not with Joanne. Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and the Secretary of Council. I would also like to reintroduce Danielle Alderson, our projectionist, and Lois Ann Gregory Wood, ALA Council Secretariat. This meeting is being captioned for the hearing impaired. Our captionist for the midwinter meeting is Heather Theriak. If you wish to take advantage of this service, please be seated where you can see the screens. Electrical outlets are available for those of you who wish to plug in your laptops or other devices at the tables in this room. We do have some special guests in the room with us today, and if they are in the room, would you please stand as I call your name? I will ask you all to hold your applause until the end, but I know better than that. The American Library Association is delighted to introduce ALA presidential candidates Joseph Janes, Associate Professor, University of Washington, Information School, Seattle, Washington. James LaRue, Chief Executive Officer, LaRue & Associates, Castle Rock, Colorado. J.P. Picaro, Librarian and for Acquisitions and Technology Discovery, New Jersey City University Library, Jersey City, New Jersey. Julie B. Tadaro, Dean, Library Services, Austin, Texas Community College. Also with us today are Eileen K. Bosch, President, and Janet Clark, Vice President, Asian Pacific American Librarians Association. Deborah Jacobs, President, Association of Research Libraries. Sharon Amistay, President, and Susan Mann, President-elect, Texas Library Association. Robert Grimmer, President, Louisiana Library Association. Judd Copeland, President, Arkansas Library Association. Ginny Dilger, President, Illinois Library Association. Greta Gook, President, North Dakota Library Association. John C. Vendetta, President, and Mary Hassler, President-elect, Maryland Library Association. Julie Howell, President-elect, Kentucky Library Association. Susan Jennings, President, Tennessee Library Association. Sarah Kelly Johns, immediate past president, New York Library Association and ALA executive board member. Paula Larita, president-elect, Alabama Library Association. Amy Lilly, president, West Virginia Library Association. Rodney Lippert, president-elect, North Carolina Library Association. Terry McCall, President, New Jersey Library Association. Christina Pruka, President, Missouri Library Association. Wendy Stevens, President, Alabama Library Association. Duncan Stewart, President, Iowa Library Association. Laura Wayne, President, Kentucky Library Association. And Zora Sampson, American Indian Library Association. Thank you all for honoring us by being at council this morning. The quorum for a council meeting is 75 councilors. I have been advised that we have well over 75 councilors present, and therefore we have a quorum. Thank you very much. The rules for this meeting are in council document number 5. Written reports should not be read, and when resolutions are presented, only the resolved clauses should be read. The Resolutions Committee is responsible for reviewing all resolutions at least 24 hours before those resolutions are added to the Council agenda. Please be reminded that all resolutions with fiscal implications must go to the Budget Analysis and Review Committee, BARC, before being added to the agenda. Debate shall be limited to 3 minutes for each speaker. No speaker may have the floor twice on the same question until all who wish to speak have spoken. We have timing lights that will indicate how much time you have. When the green light is on, you have up to 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute remaining. When the red light comes on, your time is up. Keep in mind, this is not intended to stifle debate, but to ensure fairness. Is there any objection to the proposed rules? Seeing that there are no objections, the chair declares the rules adopted by consent. As a courtesy to others, please turn your cell phones and other mobile devices that make sound off or to silent mode. If you need to make a call or take a call, please leave the council area. Thank you. The Resolution Committee asks that all resolutions be emailed to Councilor Larry Romans, Chair of the Resolutions Committee, at alaresolutions@ala.org. This will aid the projectionist in preparing your motion for the overhead screens. The Resolution Committee is stationed in the ALA office area, table number 10, right next door during the times listed in ALA Council document number 3. Would Councilor Larry Romans please stand so that we can see you? Okay. Maybe he's already at the table waiting for business. All right. Also be reminded that all committee reports and documents must be emailed to Lois Ann Gregory Wood, ALA Council Secretariat at lgregory@ala.org no later than 6 p.m. on the day preceding the council meeting at which they are to be discussed. Also, please provide Lois Ann with a contact phone number in case there is a question about your document. The agenda, ALA Council Document 8.1, revised 1.28.15, is available on the Council section of the ALA Connect and at the Council Documents pickup tables in this room. On the agenda, you'll find allocations of time to certain issues. These time limits are only estimates to guide me as I run this meeting. Under the 24-hour rule, we have not received any resolutions. Do you have any due business to add at this time? As part of today's council meeting, we have planned on providing time for council members to engage in a discussion about advocacy, information policy, and professional and career development as a part of ALA's strategic planning process. We want to leave sufficient time for there to be discussion, for which we have allocated an hour and a half. Because we are scheduled to end at 11 o'clock, this means we will need to begin no later than 9:30 this morning. At this time, we have plenty of time allocated. However, if we do take up any new business, I will remind Council that we will need to break at 9:30 a.m. for our discussion. The decision whether or not to break will be Council's. And I hope that I have your full support in taking part of this discussion to where we can discuss the strategic priorities. Seeing as there are no objections to the agenda, the chair declares the agenda adopted. I would suggest that committee chairs who are on the agenda to report come up to the stage and sit beside Keith Fields shortly before your presentation. The minutes of the 2014 ALA Annual Conference, ALA Council Document Number 2, along with various other council documents, were posted on the council webpage. Paper copies are also available on the council documents pickup tables in this room. Are there any corrections to be noted with the minutes? Seeing as there are no corrections, the chair declares the ALA council minutes from the 2014 ALA Annual Conference adopted. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is nominations for the 2015 ALA Executive Board. I now call upon Sari Feldman, Chair of the 2014-2015 ALA Council Committee on Committees, to present the committee's report. Sari.
Good morning, and thank you, Courtney. On behalf of the 2014-2015 ALA Council Committee on Committees, Ann Crudson, Karen E. Downing, Jim Kuhn, Susan F. Gregory, and myself, it is my pleasure to present Council Document Number 11, which contains the committee's nominations for election to the ALA Executive Board. The first three candidates receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to three-year terms and will be seated on the Executive Board at its fall meeting on October 23rd through 25th, 2015, in Chicago. Will the candidates please stand when named? And please, if possible, hold your applause until all candidates have been named. The candidates are Gladys Smiley Bell, Peabody Librarian, Hampton, Virginia, University Harvey Library. John C. DeSantis, Cataloging and Metadata Services Librarian and Bibliographer for Russian Theater and Film Studies, Dartmouth College, Hanover, New Hampshire. Aaron W. Dobbs, Systems and Electronic Resources Librarian, Shippensburg University of Pennsylvania, Ezra Lehman Memorial Library, Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. Laura A. Garcia Febo, President, Information New Wave, Brooklyn, New York. And Julius C. Jefferson, Jr., Information Research Specialist, Congressional Research Service, Library of Congress, Washington, D.C., and Mike Marlin, Director, Braille and Talking Book Library, California State Library, Sacramento, California.
Thank you, Sari. The chair would like to call your attention to Bylaw Article 3, Section 6C, which provides for nominations from the floor and states that, and I quote, candidates shall be nominated from among the members of the council who are serving by virtue of election to it and who will have served at the midwinter meeting and the annual conference immediately preceding their prospective terms as executive board members. Are there any nominations from the floor for the ALA executive board election? Microphone 4.
Yes, Rocco Steno, New York chapter counselor. It's my privilege to nominate a longtime council member and a New York State librarian, Bernie Margolis.
Will those who are nominated from the floor please come to a microphone? I'm sorry. Microphone 3.
Virginia Moore, Councilor at Large. It is my pleasure to nominate John Sandstrom, one of our foremost counselors, especially for his work with diversity.
My apologies, counsel. Will those nominated from the floor please come to a microphone, state your name and title and organization affiliation, and declare your willingness to stand for election. Microphone number 4.
Bernie Margolis, Counselor at Large, State Librarian of New York. I'm honored to be nominated and would be happy to stand for election.
Thank you. Microphone number 4.
John Sandstrom, Counselor at Large, New Mexico State University. It is my pleasure and honor to stand for election.
Thank you. There are no further nominations. The chair declares the nominations closed. The chair will now repeat all of the names of candidates nominated for the election to the ALA Executive Board. The candidates are Gladys Smiley Bell, John C. DeSantis, Julius C. Jefferson Jr., Loida Garcia Febo, Aaron W. Dobbs, Mike L. Marlin, Bernard Margolis, and John C. Sandstrom. Please be reminded that the ALA Executive Board Candidates Forum will be held tomorrow, Monday, February 2nd, from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m., or shortly following the close of Council 2 in this room. The forum is designed to allow Council an opportunity to hear the views and ask questions of the Executive Board candidates. Ballots will be ready for you to pick up immediately following the Executive Board Candidates Forum tomorrow. Again, tomorrow, Monday, February 2nd, from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. The ballots and ballot box will remain in the Council Room from 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., and then from 3:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. You must call for your ballot in person. The tellers will close the ballot box at 6 p.m. on Monday in order to tally the votes. They will present their report to you on Tuesday during our final meeting. As noted in ALA Council Document 11.1, the following councilors have volunteered to serve as tellers for the election: Kathleen DeLong, Susan Sager, and Kent Slade as chair. Thank you very much for volunteering. The chair now refers you to ALA Council Document Number 15 and calls upon ALA Executive Director Keith Michael Fields to review the Executive Board actions taken since the 2014 Annual Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Thank you. You have before you Council Document 15, which outlines the actions, many of which are related to budgetary matters. Just a couple of highlights, which I'll point out. A number of continuing actions related to promotional membership opportunities. Particularly, we're looking to reach out to smaller organizational members and trying to develop incentives that will help to make it easier for those entities to become part of ALA. We did also approve, the board did also approve an end of year organizational incentive for ALA staff. There had not been a salary increase in the budget at the beginning of the year. We were able to reduce costs across the association and generate revenues in order to end up in a much more favorable position. And the board approved then giving that back to staff. And I'll also note that the 15 budget did include a 2% increase for ALA staff. The board also, upon recommendation from BARC, did move to maintain the existing footprint of the midwinter meeting. They also discussed some experimental ideas which are coming out of conference committee for future midwinters. And then last of all, they approved the programmatic priorities, which will be coming to council as the sort of first building block and foundation for our 16 budget.
Are there any questions? Seeing as there are no questions, we'll move to ALA Council Document Number 9, which is the implementation report of Council's 2014 annual conference actions. The chair will again recognize Keith to respond to any questions about that report.
Great. I will just have a note or two. A number of the actions on pages 2, 3, and 5 relate to the resolution that was passed on basically council listserv and reporting from committees. The implementation report does talk about the sort of putting the policy in place piece, but we will, following up on midwinter, begin to work on providing gentle reminders to committees and at annual conference, we can see how things are going in terms of making sure that information coming out of committees is readily available to council and the membership. A number of motions related to legislative matters. I will just draw your attention on page 6 to the resolution on the District of Columbia. We have worked very closely, and we always work very closely with the chapter when we become involved in any issues related to local funding or local legislation, and in fact have a strategy that we've developed along with the DC Library Association on that. Other than that, we have been following through and keeping on various resolutions related to legislation. I'd like to commend the Committee on Legislation Chair Vivian Nguyen on what I think has been a very good communication coming from that group. I know that making sure that councilors are kept apprised of how we're moving on various legislative and policy matters is important to council. So we'll continue to push on this to make sure that people are kept well informed.
Are there any questions on this report? Microphone number 4.
Jennifer Boucher, who is the counselor. This is great. I'm great to see this, but after the council and after the resolutions and the Washington office is working on this, the different ALA committees are working on these other things, is there a way for Lois Ann or some other way that when something is resolved, when something is done, when something to celebrate, can that be put on the council either at the next council event, or how is the best way of getting that information out to us, other than this was done the last time and this is the only report that really we see what happened to it?
Yeah, this question does not come as a surprise. I think it's clear that people are interested. We will try and keep that in mind and seek to do a better job when we do actually reach a milestone that relates to some of the steps that council has taken. So we'll give it a shot over the course of the spring. I think Committee on Legislation is an example where we've been able to do a little bit more and then see how it goes. But we are focusing on that because we do understand the interest in that, and why not celebrate accomplishments as they occur rather than waiting for a report 6 months later?
Seeing as there are no more questions, thank you, Keith. The next item on today's agenda is the discussion session on ALA's strategic directions. And as I mentioned at the start of the meeting, this morning we've set aside time for a discussion of advocacy, information policy, and professional and leadership development as their strategic directions. First of all, everyone should have a copy of the discussion guide and the discussion feedback forms. All right. Hot off the press. We are asking you to form small groups working at your council tables of about 8 each. With 180 councilors, this means that we will have about 20 to 22 small working groups going at the same time. For each group, you will first choose a recorder who will capture the highlights of your discussion on a set of forms for the group. Please write the names of the group members on your group form. For each of the three directions, we are asking you to answer the following questions. One, what would success look like? How will we know if we're successful? Two, how do you think we might get there? And three, how might you, your community, that being either council, divisions, roundtables, committees, chapters, help us to get there? We would recommend that everyone spend 10 minutes to kind of organize your thoughts, which can be captured on your individual forms. Then, we recommend that you spend 20 minutes on each of the strategic directions, and we will let you know when 20 minutes has elapsed. Once we're done, we'll ask each group recorder to share one item from their list, and others to add one item that has not been mentioned. We should have about 20 minutes for this sharing. At the end of the session, we will ask you to pass your group forms into Lois Ann and Joanne. You can also share your individual forms, and it's up to you whether or not you want to put your name on them. We will be sharing a report on this discussion back with you in a couple of weeks, and we will be incorporating the results of this discussion into the draft strategic plan, which will be circulating this spring. So this is a good time, I'm still passing out forms, if you start thinking about the things you're going to discuss and forming your groups. Once again, I have to interrupt really good discussion to move you all to the third strategic direction, professional and leadership development. So once again, you're going to take that topic and go through those three questions with your groups, and I'm again going to give you 20 minutes to do that. I know some of you said you had already moved on to other pieces, so keep your discussions going. So I will stop now and float around some more.
Yes.
Three strategic directions. What we're going to do is you're going to go ahead and take a few minutes to get wrapped up and figure out the items that you're going to want to report out. We're also going to take a break. We're going to reconvene at 10:25. There's also coffee and some snacks in the back of the room as well, so make sure all of your needs are met, and then we will start doing the reporting out at 10:25 this morning. Thank you very much. I call the group back. We wanted to make sure that there was time to report out on the rich discussion that I was able to hear on three questions across the group. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to share one idea in answer to that first question, what would success look like for advocacy, for information policy, and for professional leadership development?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna take them in order. So I'm gonna ask whoever you've identified as a reporter who to pull out sort of the one thing that you will note what success would look like in the area of advocacy, and I'll be happy to recognize people as they come to the microphones. Microphone three.
Advocacy with Gladys Bell, Counselor at Large.
Thank you.
Advocacy would look like community stakeholders and policymakers will think of their librarians and libraries as important collaborators, stakeholders in any important community initiatives. Funding will be plentiful and more ALA members.
Microphone three.
This is Susan Jennings, Counselor at Large. I'm representing Larry and his five ladies. what would success look like for advocacy? More funding and job security, especially for school librarians. And part of this would be how we might get there, personal advocacy and success stories. We're not your mama's librarians anymore, and we need to change the stereotype and tell people what we really do as information brokers. We need to reach out to professions to advocate for us and with us. And we need to do a marketing campaign to spotlight the cool factor in what we do and how we do things with joy. And just marketing on an individual level, changing the stereotypes and promoting librarianship as a career to those that are looking for a career that's rewarding.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Walter Betts, Texas Chapter Counselor. Every student in the United States would enjoy the services and of a certified school librarian and a well-stocked library.
Microphone three.
Bill Suddeth, Godor Counselor. Just one off of our list. Increased participation in Library Legislative Day, at least 10% each year.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Mine's a little different. Oh, Emily Bergman Lama, Counselor. Get the word out. But it has to be easy, like a postcard campaign in your community or a click-through to your legislature. It won't work if it's not easy. And corporate partnerships are going to get attention from your legislators.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Jim Kuhn, Counselor at Large. We need to increase involvement by ALA members in the governance of the association. We also need to better make the case for libraries as effective agents in meeting important local needs, including those that don't necessarily have the word library in the bill. One point in this regard, specific examples from local libraries are often far more effective in making the case than abstract policy statements.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Robin Shader, Florida Chapter Counselor. And success for our group included when legislators and outside groups start talking to us first without us having to go to them when there are issues.
Microphone four.
Stacy Schrank, Oklahoma Chapter Counselor. Our group, the Patriots, said that success for our group would be that we would have a clear definition of what advocacy means for our organization and how every entity within the organization plays a role in that definition of advocacy, and then a strong grassroots involvement and participation to bring that to fruition.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Linda Martin, Counselor at Large. Every branch library and school in the country would have an ALA member who can help their community, help facilitate their community, the values of ALA and how ALA helps libraries. Then the community can communicate that at local grassroots council meetings to improve funding and the library brand.
God bless you. Thank you. Microphone four.
Rebecca Miller, Virginia Chapter Counselor. Our group believed that we would be successful in this when the public demands that they have effective libraries in all types of their communities, and that ALA is understood as the go-to organization and authority for library and information-related issues.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Hi, Kim Patton, Counselor at Large. Our group, the Joes, talked a lot about this. We think that we spend a lot of time talking about advocacy, and we kind of want to see us move past talking about it and actually getting out there and doing it in a much bigger way. A lot of the problem we saw was that we have a lot of small groups advocating for specific things, but we don't have a big unified message, and we need to work on that. We also talked about how we get insignificant, I don't want to call them insignificant, but we get celebrity figureheads that help us with some marketing campaigns, but we need a librarian figurehead that we can use as our advocacy tool, and we need to start teaching our patrons how to be our advocates instead of teaching ourselves how to do it.
Microphone two.
Loida Garcia Fibo, Councilor at Large. And our group decided that we will know that we're successful if every state legislature will have a caucus for libraries.
Microphone three.
Nathan Flowers, chapter counselor for South Carolina. Every employee will be naturally advocating in their everyday work, doing a great job marketing what we do, building coalitions and partnerships with outside groups to better inform those who benefit from our services, and letting legislators expect an impact from the ALA.
Microphone two.
Bob Diaz, or Joseph Diaz, counselor at large. We'll know when we're successful when our customers consider us indispensable, and this is shown through increased funding, increased gate counts, and increased professional staffing levels.
Microphone four.
Andrew Pace, counselor at large, representing Boing Boing. What does success look like when we do rah-rah for libraries? We need the people we're directing it to understand. Success will look like broad understanding. How do we get to success? We tie every action of the ALA to the advocacy plan. If it's not tied to the plan, then it should stop, not just council resolutions, but everything coming out of any body of the ALA. That way we speak with a consistent and unified voice. And how might our community help get us there? We had a nice discussion about undividing the divisions.
Microphone three.
John DeSantis, Councilor at Large, representing the Seahawks. what success in advocacy would look like when our issues are discussed locally, nationally, and we've achieved public awareness. We might get there by giving people the tools to tell our story. Members could then build local advocacy networks if they had better awareness of ALA.
Microphone two.
Catherine Baumhold, counselor for EMERIT, representing the unnamed group in the front row. Success would look like a fully engaged and collaborative membership among all library groups, public, academic, school, and allied professions and supporters.
Microphone four.
Andrew Hart, Elects Division Counselor, representing the Blizzards group, felt we need to advocate in a way that our message is welcome and received, emphasizing the value of libraries and what we do rather than emphasizing what we're asking for.
Microphone four.
Daniel Cornwell, Alaska Chapter Counselor, representing those who laugh at snow. Success for us would be when we ensure that all kinds of libraries have dedicated sources of funding from year to year.
Microphone four.
Pam Hickson-Stevenson, Ohio Chapter Counselor. Our group, the Awesome Librarians, said that success will look like when conversations about libraries aren't needed or mandatory anymore because people already understand their importance. And this can be achieved by making sure that people have a comprehensive view of libraries of all types, K to higher ed, public libraries, that emphasizes the importance of libraries to the educational process and to the cultural development of our country.
Microphone four.
Tony Negro, Counselor at Large, speaking for the Blizzard Survivors Group. Success would look like for ALA when ALA is as well known and has as much influence as the NRA. One way of getting there would be to raise the reality in libraries that actually meet the expectations of its users. And our third comment we would make is that there needs to be a clear definition of advocacy versus marketing and what that means for libraries.
Microphone 4.
Charlotte Gerstein, Vermont Chapter Counselor. And a lot of people have said what the kinds of things we were talking about as well, but one thing to add is about libraries being allied with public education or viewed as parallel to public education, with movement toward individualized education like personalized learning plans. So the library is a place where you go to learn anything.
Thank you. Were there any other ideas related to advocacy that anyone wants to report in this venue? Okay, we'll move on to information policy. So once again, what would success look like in information policy? Your 1 point. Yes. Yeah. And if you want to hit all the questions, then that's fine. We seem to be moving well. So we will start with microphone 3.
Susan Jennings, counselor at large with Larry and his 5 ladies. For information policy, what would success look like? Create transparency to the everyday member. ALA is a very unwieldy, mysterious organization. And to the average member, they really don't know how we work. And it's all confusing, all those acronyms, oh my gosh. So anyway, it's very confusing to the average member, so we have to really have relevance to our everyday member. How do you think we might get there? Better publicity and having this kind of publicity about what ALA is about and what we do in digestible content. Demystifying the governance structure and breaking it down to more understandable bites. And what we can do is we can market and have personal advocacy about what ALA means to us.
Microphone 4.
Walter Betts, Texas Chapter Counselor from the Group with No Name. We would see success with information policy when librarians are not afraid to get their hands dirty, meeting with legislators, involving ourselves in politics, and getting our constituents to meet with our representatives both on our own turf in libraries and in their offices.
Microphone 3.
Loida Garcia-Fibo, Counselor at Large. We need to encourage LIS education and continuing education units, information policy and PR skills, lobbying at local and national levels, and also on a deeper level. We need to focus on education, need to be able, as a profession, librarians need to be able to explain information policy to the people in our communities. So we need to be able to understand it first.
Microphone 3.
Linda Martin, counselor at large. As an educated citizenry who's educated about our stance on information policies, the digital divide, net neutrality, etc. We might get there by working with other like-minded organizations, interested organizations that can have there can be strength in numbers, we can have a stronger voice. Let's see. And how might your community help us get there? Those kind of went in together. Okay, we'll go with that.
Okay, thank you. Microphone 3.
Nathan Flowers, South Carolina Chapter Counselor. Our roundtable believes that we will see success when the values of the ALA and the results of public policy decisions converge.
Microphone 3.
Gladys Smiley Bell, Counselor at Large. Americans turn to the library first as a knowledgeable resource and repository for decision-making policy issues.
Microphone two.
Catherine Baumhold, EMERIC counselor, representing the unnamed group in the first row. Success will be when we make it as easy as possible for all people to access information in multiple viewpoints and to make informed decisions.
Microphone four.
Andrew Hart, elects division counselor, the Alphabet Blizzards. We will know we're successful when we see a change in copyright law to enable effective digital preservation and access for orphaned works.
Microphone four.
Robin Shader, Florida chapter counselor, representing Team Excelsior. Okay. Success would be when legislators support our initiatives, including revised copyright laws and the repeal of the Patriot Act.
Microphone four.
Stacy Schrank, Oklahoma chapter counselor of the Patriots. I'm going to mix it up a little bit and how might we get there. We said that we need to be more clear and transparent and that we may have to do some organizational restructuring to put the responsibilities for achieving our information policy goals to the parts of our organization that can make the most difference.
Microphone three.
Jim Kuhn, counselor at large. Successful look like more successful lobbying at the local, state, and federal levels for legislation in line with our values. We might get there if ALA staff and member leaders did not think that issues were too local for them to be able to help with, especially when concerns or questions require some confidential consultation.
Microphone three.
Kim Patton, counselor at large, representing the Joes. We thought that our best bet is to work together with Big ALA so that we can reconcile what information policy truly is and how it connects to the real-world individual library experience. Answering those questions, what information do you need? How are you going to use it? How are you going to access it? How can we protect it? All of those issues. And we thought, if information is a commodity now, that's a great thing because it widens the field, but it also narrows it, because if it's a commodity and it's really worth something, it becomes harder to access, it becomes worth more. So you have to pay more to get it, it's harder to get to. So we need to kind of widen the field again. We need to look at some sort of national consortium so that we can bring those prices down for open access for everyone.
Microphone two.
Susan Gregory, Montana chapter rep, member of the group You Call This a Blizzard. And ours is hopefully a more educated legislature at the state and federal level, resulting in universal access to affordable, high-speedy, and reliable internet.
Microphone three.
Emily Bergman, LAMA counselor. There is just so much information, it's overwhelming and it needs balancing. State organizations can be better because the national can be overwhelming. Private corporations and public utilities are in conflict and need to be brought together for the public good.
Microphone five.
Andrew Pace, counselor at large, representing Boing Boing. I'm going to say that as many times as I possibly can. Success will be definitively tying information policy to the collection and dissemination of purchased, licensed, digitized, and open access materials and libraries.
Microphone four.
Pam Hickson Stevenson, Ohio chapter counselor. Success will occur when there is an understanding of the balance between information as a commodity and information access. But in order to achieve this, the profession needs a better understanding of the issues, which can be achieved through developing competencies and also by providing education and information for legislators and government officials.
Microphone two.
Daniel Cornwall, Alaska chapter counselor, representing those who laugh at snow. Success in information policy would be when Congress, citizens, and our fellow librarians are looking to ALA when they're looking for information or guidance on information policy. One of the ways that we can get there is continue and redouble our efforts to make information findable on the ALA website. It's truly a treasure trove of information and guidance, but often Byzantine to get there. And one of the ways that individual organizations can do is they can model alternative models of copyright, like Godort does, license their wiki with Creative Commons. And finally, we can be firm advocates for copyright reform.
Microphone 3.
John DeSantis, Counselor at Large. Success in information policy would occur when every member has an understanding of the impact of information policy and what we do in our professional lives in our association work. We might get there by recognizing that ALA no longer has a monopoly on information policy and that libraries need to be recognized as a contributor to the larger sphere of information policy stakeholders, and also by providing tools and language to members to disseminate information.
Microphone 4.
Tony Negro, Counselor at Large. The Blizzard survivors indicated that success will have success when non-library groups join ALA to speak for libraries. When libraries involved in policy making speak in terms of public access in addition to open access, and that there be unified policy goals throughout all the constituencies in ALA, and that programming throughout the constituencies reflect these issues.
Microphone 4.
Charlotte Gerstein, Vermont Chapter Counselor, and we were talking a lot about the that all staff should be educated, so all encounters with the public are from educated people about these issues, and so that's a matter of reinforcing core values with all our library staff so that they know why we advocate for the things that we advocate for.
Microphone 4.
Rebecca Miller, Virginia Chapter Counselor, and Charlotte totally took ours. Now, we agree with a lot of the statements that have been made so far about making sure professionals understand the core values and that there's support in helping to interpret what can be very complicated policies. But we also spent a lot of time talking about the significance of paying attention to and leveraging the expertise that some of our smaller niche groups, like LIDA or some of our state chapters, could really bring to the entire discussion and helping people understand some of these really complicated issues.
Microphone 3.
Bill Suddeth, Godort Counselor, and we've taken the group name of One ALA. We see success in information policy when we move beyond the legislative and regulatory arenas to affect information policy in the marketplace using models similar to the Digital Content Working Group.
Microphone 4.
Andrew Hart, Lex Division Counselor. Our group felt that a way to get there is to bring more policymakers, local and national policymakers, to our conferences to be our guests, to be our speakers, to have a chance to interact with this community.
Thank you. So for professional leadership development, I know we're starting to get low on time. So I would ask that for that question in that area, if you could just come up and give us sort of a quick comment in terms of what would success look like for professional and leadership development. Microphone 4.
Walter Betts, Texas Chapter Counselor. ALA and its units would invest in leadership development for a new generation of leaders that reflects our association's diversity in gender, ethnicity, age, and library type and geography, and that leadership development would not be treated as a revenue stream but as an investment.
Microphone 3.
Loida Garcia, FIBO, Counselor at Large. I think our group thinks that we need to continue focusing on people, not things. We need to study how libraries intersect with national disparities and how to bridge those disparities to include those and strengthen leadership trainings.
Microphone 3.
Linda Martin, Counselor at Large. Success would be a kind of a career path to leadership within the association, with state associations leading and forming a conduit between local constituents and national people.
Microphone 3.
Bill Suddeth, Godort Counselor. Our group sees leadership as starting early. It should be in the training, in the library science education, but also needs to be included for staff, encouragement of internships, and state chapters as incubators.
Microphone 4.
Stacy Schrank, Oklahoma Chapter Counselor, The Patriots. One way that we think about doing professional development is taking it to our grassroots level and combining our ALA professional development with the state chapters and their conferences.
Microphone 5.
John DeSantis, Counselor at Large. We would have success with professional leadership development when professional development is a tool to achieve ALA's goals and not just a goal in itself.
Microphone 3.
Kim Patton, Counselor at Large, representing the Joes. We think that we should have post-library school training, measurable, concrete, useful outcomes with sometimes consequences, and certification programs not only in library disciplines, but in other industry and government subjects as well, so that we're well-versed.
Microphone 3.
Nathan Flowers, South Carolina Chapter Counselor. Our roundtable believes that we will be successful when we are a knowledgeable, diverse group of professionals who have a clear path on how to become involved as a professional and the responsibility to connect with communities outside of the traditional library space. It would also help to have one clear, defined area or portal in which we can get help on continuing education, professional development training.
Microphone 3.
Susan Jennings, Counselor at Large, representing Larry and his five ladies. success would look like an increase in membership, especially in diversity in membership. And we also echo promoting participation in state and local levels to get their new members' feet wet and create opportunities there. Also to make a connection to our members in their everyday life. We also believe that maybe donation opportunities to fund memberships for people who can't afford them.
Microphone 4.
Rebecca Miller, Virginia Chapter Counselor. In our group, we define success for ALA with this would be if individuals and chapters think of ALA first when they identify a particular skill or growth area. And we also completely believe that working with state chapters to both develop and provide access to these types of opportunities is definitely the way to go.
Microphone 4.
Robin Shada, Florida Chapter. Team Excelsior believes that we should have a library school class on professionalism that emphasizes contributing to the profession, including what you can do and what you can expect from participation in ALA.
Microphone 5.
Daniel Cornwall, Alaska Chapter Counselor. And our group would really love to see having one of ALA's online classes come for free with dues.
Microphone 2.
Jim Kuhn, Counselor at Large. Leadership skills are becoming more and more critical in librarianship, and these are not typically covered in library school. They need to be taught more, but not just to librarians, also to trustees, friends, and other advocates for us in our communities.
Counselors, with your permission to finish up this reporting out, may I extend the meeting for 5 minutes? Thank you. Microphone 4.
Pam Hickson Stevenson, Ohio Chapter Counselor. We started really young. We think success will happen when kindergartners at their graduation ceremony say, "I want to be a librarian when I grow up because it's cool and fun."
Microphone 4.
Boy, how do you follow that? Andrew Hart, Alex Division Counselor for the Blizzards. Our group called for pursuing next-generation post-webinar tools for professional development and communication, online training, and to foster development of the skills to use them effectively.
Microphone 5.
Andrew Pace, Counselor at Large, Boing Boing. We said that success looks like having curriculum, programming, and continuing education targeted not only to new librarians, but to new librarianship, which is good for the entire profession.
Microphone 3.
Gladys Smiley Bell, Counselor at Large. How do we think we get there? We get there with a Diversity Leadership Institute and Professional Institute, and it is sustained with APA professional leadership and throughout the LIS curriculum.
Microphone 3.
Emily Bergman, Lama Counselor. Librarians need to be lifelong learners, just like we expect our patrons to be. And we need to make this training affordable and not just a moneymaker. Courses are available for free from the state library, so let's pull them together and send them out to everybody. Collect the different examples of free training and make them available. Record within the state and share, and then share beyond the state.
Microphone two.
Ann Crutzen, counselor at large from Team Go Seahawks All the Way. What would success look like for professional and leadership development? If it's when you have the picture of a broader array of ALA programs and topics on leadership development, and if there was more diversity of leadership in management positions.
Microphone two.
Catherine Baumhold, EMERIC counselor representing the unnamed group in the front row. Success is when all people who want professional development or leadership training can access it regardless of cost.
Microphone four.
Tony Negro, counselor at large. The Blizzard survivors think that success would have an ALA sponsor a leadership academy with help from other organizations and constituencies, and perhaps through restructuring a part of its budget to support this. It also says that to have a librarian in Congress would be a mark of success, and I would add maybe in the White House.
Microphone four.
Charlotte Gerstein, Vermont chapter counselor, and we talked about the need for continuing education possibly being required and looking at other professions like teachers that have to keep their licenses up to date.
Thank you, counselors. We are at the end of our time for this discussion, and I want to thank you for your participation in this process. I'm going to invite Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and Secretary of Council, to give us announcements, but I'm going to ask him to start with what happens next with the work that the group has just done.
So we will be working on, So first of all, a number of questions have come up. We'd want to submit this on a form. We already have it in electronic format. So please feel free to forward it in any way, shape, or form to either me directly or to Joanne Kempf, or maybe to both of us if you want to do it that way, so that we can then incorporate it. We'll get it into the onto the Connect site. We'll then be doing a summary report back out. There was some discussion as to whether this would be a worthwhile session. I'd have to say that I'm like awestruck at the quality of what I've just heard over the course of the last half hour. So I really thank you so much for taking the time to work on this. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, registration at this point is a total of 10,552. We're still ahead of Seattle, which was about 200 less, and a little bit behind, about 1,000 behind Philadelphia. We have added dog sled registration lanes today, but I'm really not expecting a lot of drive-in one-day registrations today. And then last of all, there have been some questions about the current state of travel. There is not a travel advisory to the best of our knowledge. I just talked with Paul Growler. And buses will continue to run. There's not a lot of traffic, so that's good. And they're probably going to extend the buses past 6 a little bit. So in general, things are on track.
Thank you. Microphone four.
Thank you. Rob Banks, Executive Board. I'm also a co-chair for the Legacy Society. I want to thank everyone that showed up this morning for our coffee and eats. And you're welcome. For those of you that didn't make it, we just are really trying to raise awareness of the Legacy Society. And we felt like association leaders, it's important for you to be just aware of the opportunities that people can leave money to ALA in many different ways, and through wills, through insurance forms. There's all kinds of different things. Kim Olson-Clark in the development office can certainly help you with that, or if you know of someone, please direct them to Kim, and she will be glad to take care of that. It's very easy, it's very painless, and it's a great way to remember the American Library Association. Thank you.
Microphone four.
I'm
Amy Lappin, I'm the New Hampshire chapter counselor. I just wanted to let people know that there's still room and space available in the council suite. So if you are interested in having a meeting over the next day or two, you just need to see Joseph Egan, who is raising his hand. He's at the back of the room. Thank you. And that's at the Hilton Chicago.
Microphone 3.
Aaron Dobbs, lead counselor. I forgot who I am. Just wanted to remind everyone there's an ALA Council Forum 1 tonight at the Hyatt Regency Chicago up on Wacker Drive. It's running from 8:30 to 10 p.m. I have not gotten any topics yet. If you have something you'd like to talk about, please let me know. Thank you.
Microphone 4.
John Sandstrom, Counselor at Large, and I'm wearing my Chair of OLIF's advisory hat right now. I'd like to remind everyone, invite you to the Martin Luther King Sunrise Celebration tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. Thank you very much.
And hopefully, I don't know how this weather is going to turn out, but my dad is going to be there as well in the morning. So if he gets here, you can come say hi to my father. Keith has another announcement.
One thing I did forgot to mention here, and that is that if you run into anyone who has unexpectedly had to extend their stay in Chicago, all they need to do is, if they want help in getting their hotel extended, the hotels would be thrilled to extend your stay because not so many people are coming into town as anticipated. But housing can help you if you run into any kind of problem. There's plenty of opportunities to stay.
Please be sure to have your name written on your vote tally card before passing it to the aisles for collection. And you can also pass your forms from the exercise we just completed to the aisle as well. Cards that do not have names on them will be voided. I declare the first meeting of the ALA Council adjourned.